Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey guys, it's Grant Paulson. Thanks so much for listening to our podcast. We're changing things up. We're going to be making the show available for you 1 hour at a time. So if you're looking for a specific part of the hour of a show, look below at the description of what we've been talking about for time cues.
It's Danny. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you live on the radio from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. weekdays on 106.7 The Fan.
Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Welcome back. Thanks much for listening to the show as always. Beltway Blitz every day at noon. What's going on in our lives? That's a different segment, actually. I botched that.
What's going on at DC Sports Lives?
Yeah, that's right. Let's just do it. Thank you, Tommy, for bailing me out. J.P. Finley covers the Redskins. James Paul. Trent Williams being shut down, finally? Does it sound like it might actually happen? He's not going to play?
Yeah, I think barring something a little nuts between Ty Nsekhe and Morgan Moses on Sunday, Trent is done. I also think, you know, weirdly, I believe Trent said yesterday he's never had surgery and he's pretty nervous about it. You would think at this point that's something he's had a lot of. I think he wants to enjoy the Christmas holiday. He has two young daughters and then kind of turn the page after that.
Longtime TV host Jim Perry Finley. This matchup here against Denver. Denver's kind of like a mirror image right now of what Arizona is. Broken on offense, not special there, but pretty capable still on defense. They'd have a much better record if their offense was just okay. How do the Redskins match up?
It's going to be pretty similar to that Arizona game where for the Skins to win, their defense will probably have to cause some turnovers and take advantage of bad quarterback play. You'd like to see the Skins do a little bit more offensively, but the Skins' offense right now is really pretty limited. I mean, you're going to have – odds are you'll have no run game again. I think you should see more Capri Bibbs, honestly. I thought he looked pretty good for them. And maybe you get more out of Doxson. He as much as we've talked about all the potential, the production hasn't really been there, whether that's he needs more targets or he needs to do more. You'd like to get more out of him. Crowder played up decent for them last week, caught a touchdown, had about 50 yards. He needs a compliment.
What do you think a win would accomplish for first the team, second for the fan base this weekend?
It's tough to say for the fans. The fans are mad. And, you know, almost anything I put up on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, folks are just like, man, you know, screw that. Like, there's a lot of just, they don't want to hear about what happens next. They're just really frustrated by the process. And I think a lot of that happens when your season's over, you know, in week 12 and you know you're not going to the playoffs. But, you know, a win gets them to 7 wins, makes there are fans, you know, you talk to Dukes and he'll tell you that it's worthless to get a win because you're only hurting draft position. And there's some logic to that. I think the players want to win. The coaches want to win. For the team, getting to 7 wins and having a chance at 8-8, as much as it's mediocrity, this team has not had sustained mediocrity for a long time. 3 straight non-losing seasons would be a big deal for this organization. It hasn't happened, I don't think, since the early 90s under Joe Gibbs. So there's value in that, I think, for the organization to show that there is some structure and that things are moving the right direction, or at least not collapsing like they have before.
Longtime WWE jobber Jim Powers, failing. That's courtesy of Thami. Why can't they run the ball? They've got 2 good running games that have buoyed their average, and they're still wretched down at the bottom of the league. Why are they so bad at running?
For the record, Danny, I have no idea who either of the dudes you referenced were today.
Nice.
Why can't they run the ball is both a mystery and a really easy answer. They haven't invested in running back. I know some folks were really excited about Samaje Perine. He has improved as the year has gone on, but he's not a dynamic RB1 in the NFL. I think maybe, depending on what happens at quarterback, obviously, but maybe this is the draft where running back in the first round actually makes sense for them. But the other side of it is, in spots, they have run the ball well. You go back to that Rams game, and I know it was week 2, and it feels like a lifetime ago. They ran the ball incredibly well. And then, you know, Samaje Perine had back-to-back 100-yard games. They hadn't had that since Alfred Morris. It's hard to know. They try to be consistent, but at times you're just consistently bad. And I asked Jay Gruden about it once everybody went down. I mean, you lost Rob Kelly, you lost Chris Thompson, and then you lose Byron Marshall. You know, at this point in the season, I'm not quite Chris Russell where I'll scream about sticking to the run no matter what, but I do think you have to commit to the run game. At this point where you're at this version of a depleted roster, I don't know that you have to really try and get to 20 rushes in a game. I think maybe you try to do more screens or stuff to get running backs involved, but I don't think there's a number that you staunchly have to get to.
JP, thank you, buddy. I'll see you at FedEx on Christmas Eve.
Thanks, guys. Merry Christmas to you both.
You too, pal.
Happy holidays. Let's talk to another of our friends. Ben Standing is a friend of the Beltway Blitz, many-time participant. You've heard him breaking down a bunch of different teams. You can check out his work at NBC Washington's website, Locked on the Wizards. Last time we saw the Wiz, they were blowing out the Pelicans. Kind of a strange game, 116-106. How about Mike Scott? Did you see this coming, Ben?
Oh, no. Nobody saw this coming. You know, when they added him as a minimum contract player, you thought, all right, well, look, they need another front court big man who can shoot from deep. And he was a key player on that Atlanta team a couple years ago that won 60 games. And you thought, okay, you know, it's interesting. It's a low-risk maneuver, not a big deal. And you know, maybe he can be helpful. Helpful is one thing. Playing at, like, this insane pace is another. Everybody from Mike Scott to Scott Brooks to his teammates are all sort of they're at loss for words. What's happening? I mean, he's just busting shots in from all over the place. And it isn't just that he's just hot. He's making smart plays with the ball in his hand. He's shouldn't be a good passer, willing defender. He's just been smart, solid, and he's helped that second unit a ton. And we all know how much it was needed after last year.
Benjamin, Markieff Morris says the Wizards are about to turn a corner and to trust him. I frankly don't. But in the column that would favor him, last year they had a much worse record through this point and damn near won 50 games. They're in a better spot, just kind of treading water, a couple games over 500 at this point. Are they about to turn a corner? And do you believe Markieff Morris?
Yeah, I was there when he said that yesterday. He was feeling optimistic, and you know, they were coming off a good win. And you know, I know he was active in that game, and for him in particular, you know, it's been a grind this season, coming off the injury or coming off the surgery and dealing with some other things that it's taken him a while to get going. And we'll see. I will say this: on the one hand, they have a better record than they did through 31 games a year ago, 17-14 versus 15-16. That said, and something I wrote about on for NBC 4 Washington is they're actually behind the pace though when it comes to momentum. At this point last year, they had just won eight of 11 games. They had the first win in what would become a 17-game home court winning streak. So there were already signs that things were turning, even though we didn't quite know it yet, and they had a losing record. They started off a lot slower. The thing right now is it's sort of win one, lose one, win two, lose two. So look, they did just win 3 of 4 at home, but they didn't look that so great in those first two wins. We'll see. Now they play against a Brooklyn team that they just lost to. You know, you win that, you start stringing some wins together, then you get momentum. But right now they're actually behind where they were a year ago from that point of momentum. And so, you know, I wish I could tell you it was definitely coming. I'd like to think once they get healthy, there are more pieces in place than last year, and therefore they should get going.
Thanks, Ben. We appreciate
it. Thank you,
Ben. See you guys.
Let's talk puck. Steve Wino, Associated Press, covers the Caps, who are white hot. Winners have 8 of their last 9 now. Last time we saw them, they were beating the Stars in overtime. Day off today, then they're in Arizona tomorrow night. How have they gotten so hot, Steve?
Yeah, at this point, it's a little bit of scoring from everywhere. We saw Andre Burakovsky, who couldn't hit the net from the ocean at any point when he came back from injury, and looked great the other night. Goaltending has been amazing. Braden Holtby's numbers aren't as strong as they were a year ago, but he has saved the Capitals when they were struggling, and now that they're giving him a little bit of goal support, he's been excellent, especially against a team like Dallas he had never beaten before.
This run that they're on, where they're excellent, they've had a couple letdown games, but that happens, some back-to-backs, et cetera. What's the biggest overarching thing? Is it just Braden Holtby, or is it some other kind of factor here, Swano, as to why they're playing this good hockey?
I think there's a number of factors. Not only are you getting good goaltending, you're getting the usual production from Alex Ovechkin, and certainly it helps that Tom Wilson's turned into the Milan Lucic kind of power forward the Capitals wanted when they drafted him, and it's worked so perfectly with Alex Ovechkin and Nicholas Backstrom back together. Even without TJ Oshie for those 6 games, the combination of a from Toronto, who's been excellent. Yanni Kuznetsov, those two guys on the top line we're used to. And I think these young defensemen are playing better. Christian Juice and Madison Bowie, who they've had some growing pains along the way. But it's like everything is starting to come together at the right time for this team.
Steve, I'll see you at FedEx on Sunday, buddy. Thank you.
See you then. Thank you.
The latest on the Caps with Steve Wino of the AP. And that is your Beltway Blitz on Grant and Danny, the three teams in town you care the most about. We'll look ahead to week 16, believe it or not. The penultimate week in the NFL. We will do that next right here on The Fan. Welcome back, Grant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan. Let's get you ready for a 15th week. I should say 16th week of
16,
football.
16, man.
Game number 15 for every single team. 2 weeks left in the season. It is insane to think about the league's regular year being over next week.
So you go from so much anticipation to settle into the routine, and as soon as that routine settles, if that makes any sense, it's review the game from the day before, talk about what the hell you do next on Tuesday, Wednesday talk about Thursday, and next thing you know, you're into that following weekend. And it goes like that.
Yep.
It's so fast.
Around the league we go, week 16. Let's get her started. Saturday, kickoffs, December 23rd, couple days before Christmas, 2 days from right now. 4:30 game in Baltimore.
It's a big one, man.
Colts, Ravens, 3-11 Indianapolis, just 1-6 on the road. Heads to Baltimore to take on a Ravens team, 4-2 at home, 8-6 overall. The Ravens need a win because they are trying to keep pace in the wild card chase. If they handle their business, they're going to be in great shape. But they have to win or else they're going to be in trouble. Baltimore favored by 13.5 points in this game. A minus 13.5 for the Ravens. Over-under in this game is 41. Baltimore should roll. The Colts are bad. Jacoby Brissett is just not that good. And the Ravens have established some offense the last few weeks. They've been able to score. They're making plays in the passing game. Joe Flacco's getting the ball down the field more often. And Alex Collins, who's closing in on 900 rushing yards, is the best running back they've had over the last couple of seasons.
He's good.
He got shut down this past week, and they still didn't have any issues. I think the Ravens roll over the Colts.
I do, too. And keep in mind, the team they're currently chasing, same record, but they're chasing, and the Buffalo Bills, you know who they have? The New England Patriots.
Yes.
Baltimore has a very nice little situation going.
They're
after
be
being
in good shape.
Aggressively mediocre early on. Their offense has been better, and so too all of a sudden they pick
it up and
start playing D.
And I will give them credit, as I said yesterday, they are playing a lot better football
they are.
Right now.
They
started
are.
Really with that loss to the Steelers a couple weeks ago where I said, that's a good loss if I've seen one. They hung with one of the best teams in football. Then this past week they handled their business, so I'm feeling better about the Ravens.
Alex Collins, by the way, reminds me of Marion Barber when he was in his prime. There's some speed, a little more than you'd think, some violence to his game. I like that guy. He's kind of been a godsend for their offense. Other Saturday game, 8:30 post-Meridian. Not what you expected when you see this on the calendar at the beginning of the year. Minnesota at Green Bay, you figure that game is for the division. It's now for nothing, for Green Bay at least. They're back to the Brett Hundley situation. Aaron Rodgers correctly back on injured reserve. They'll try to run the football. That's adorable. Hundley will throw 7 or 8 complete passes, and they'll lose to Minnesota in all. I guess my best guess would be Minnesota favored on the road by 9 points in this one. They're in a battle for home field. If Philadelphia stumbles, Minnesota could get it throughout. That is a defense that plays anywhere. They're excellent. You know the two-headed monster, Latavius Murray. Jerick McKinnon had over 100 yards receiving this past week. Thielen's a pro bowler. Diggs is a weapon if you block those other two guys. Case Keenum is just doing the right thing with the football. Nothing crazy. That Minnesota team is good. Saturday night, favored to roll. Disappointing that the matchup turned to this instead of Green Bay with something more to play for.
Feels like a 27-13 Vikings win to me. They'll get to 12-3 and 6-2 on the road. Weather could be interesting. They're calling for high teens around 20 to 22 degrees at Lambeau Field. Sunday games. Let's kick off the slate with the Redskins and the Broncos right here in gorgeous Landover, Maryland. The artist formerly known as Raljohn, Maryland. 47 degrees, going to be pleasant at FedEx Field. The Redskins are 3.5-point favorites. Over-under is set at 40.5. I think this is going to be an ugly defensive game, a lot like last week. Similarly, bad offensive team with a fairly inept quarterback situation coming to FedEx where they don't protect the quarterback well, and I think the Redskins' pass rush is going to be able to help them a lot. Ryan Kerrigan should get a sack, 1.5. Preston Smith should have another big day. Perhaps Anthony Lanier collapsed in the pocket from the interior.
Give me a little Junior Gallet one time.
Dominate a couple of times in as many weeks. Junior Gallet has shown the last few weeks he's got his legs back under him. So I think the pass rush for the Redskins produces enough that they do beat Denver. I'm going to say this is a 17-14, 20-17 defensive struggle-ish game, 21-20, something right around there. The Redskins beat the Broncos. But I don't think the Redskins' offense is going to have a ton of success either. Cousins comes in needing about 340 yards to get to 4,000 for the season, sitting at 24 touchdowns. But they can rush the quarterback, and they got the best trio of corners with Tlaib, Harris, and Roby that the Redskins have faced this season.
I believe Imagine Dragons sang about it when they said, under, take the under. That is going to be a gross defensive game. Thank you very much. I was sitting on that one the entire time
that
Grant was talking.
It's a good bit.
I felt so good about it. It felt good out of the hand, and I'll bask in that. Thank you. I think it's going to be a gross game. I have to watch it for work and because I'm a Redskins fan, but there are way better games that I'm way more interested in over
Speaking
the course of this
ugly
weekend.
Games.
Yep. Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa up. Thanks for showing up this year. Once again, it's a weekly reminder of how wrong I was and so many thousands of people were about how good you were going to be this season. This, again, should have been a battle for the division. Carolina, nothing sexy about it. It's Cam Newton making plays. They abandoned. They scrapped this. We're going to try the West Coast offense for Cam. We're going to make him a quick passer. No, we're not. Let him make plays, please. Now you've got Christian McCaffrey, which helps. That defense is excellent. They are awesome. They're going to win this game favored by 10 points. A lot of big old lines this week in the National Football League in Week 6 teams as teams have packed it in.
How about the Bears at home 6.5-point favorites? Must mean they're playing the Browns. Cleveland at Chicago. 0-14 Browns, 4-10 Bears. Last year, I believe it was on Christmas Eve when the Browns won their one game of the season. I believe they beat at the time a Chargers team that wasn't going anywhere.
Wow, yeah.
Now you got the Browns and the Bears, and if you're a Cleveland fan, you're hoping for that Christmas miracle for the second time in two seasons to avoid 0-16. Because if they lose to the Bears, I believe they've got a game in Week 17 in the division that they're not going to win. So here's your chance, Browns fans. Can you go to Soldier Field? It's going to be rainy, some mixed precipitation, perhaps a little bit of snow, 30 degrees is what they're forecasting. Can you go run the football, stop the run, and beat Chicago? You know who needs to start showing a little bit better is Mitchell Trubisky. Now, that isn't to say that the Bears have a lot of talent around him or they're helping him or making his life easy.
You'd like to see something.
But it's not like they got nothing. Jordan Howard has big games every other week. He's rushed for 1,000 yards and 7 touchdowns this year. Kendall Wright's got 50 catches for almost 600 yards. Trubisky just isn't flashing all that often.
He's not good, Grant.
3 picks when I last watched him. DeShone Kizer's terrible. He's worse than Mitchell Trubisky. He's the other starting quarterback in this game. So Browns, Bears, this is a dud. This is a stinker. I think Chicago wins. I'm going to call for a 30-23 game. How that many points will be scored, I don't know. Over-under is 38. But I think we get a special teams blunder for a touchdown. I think we get a defensive score or two. Going to be a nasty football game.
Detroit at Cincinnati. Detroit, last of the Mohicans in. They're still alive no matter what occurs. And Cincinnati, they're just looking at their watch. Hey, when's Marvin Lewis done? How many? We have two. Let's see, carry the two. Couple more weeks. That's like 10 days. And I just can't wait for him to be gone. They need to turn the page.
What time is my flight home?
Yeah, Bob Seger sang about him. Turn the page. They're all making golf reservations. That's going to be a completely big turnover. Andy Dalton has been a disaster. Their offense stinks. They really miss Mixon. Looks like he may come back for this game. Detroit, again, is just the very definition of okay. Very up, very down, sometimes in between. They can make some plays here and there.
You know my stance. I still don't think it's a lock. Jim Caldwell comes back. He only got a one-year extension.
Yeah.
So you're only basically paying him for a season at the end of this year.
Detroit needs this ball game. They're 8-6. They're a game behind Atlanta, who's got a couple difficult matchups themselves up ahead of them. So, again, it's the Marvin Jones, Golden Tate, Eric Ebron here lately type show. If they force a couple turnovers, which Cincinnati loves to do, they could win this game. They're 4.5 favorites on the road, Detroit is.
36 degrees in Cincinnati. Might get to see some snow football in that one. We've saved some of the best games for next segment. Seahawks, Cowboys in Dallas, a 4:25 kickoff. Jimmy Garoppolo against the Jaguars will be a fun showcase. And a playoff-relevant matchup for the Chargers needing a win in New York against the Jets team that plays hard every week. Plus the game of the week in New Orleans. So we'll get to all those games next as we break down Week 16 in the NFL for you. Brant and Danny, 106.7 The Fan.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We're spinning you around all the NFL matchups from Week 16. Our continuation takes us to Nashville, Tennessee. Nissan Stadium, 44 degrees at kickoff. The projection for the Rams, 10-4. The Titans, 8-6. A couple of teams hoping to make the playoffs in the NFC and AFC, respectively. Rams coming off an outstanding win. Titans coming off a bad loss. I think LA is the better of the two teams, obviously. Will they win is the question. They are 6.5-point favorites. I would actually take them to cover. Their defense is starting to swarm and play really well.
All of a sudden.
They're getting the quarterback, knocking the football out of passers' hands. You saw it with Russell Wilson this past week in the pocket. Jared Goff has thrown for 3,500 yards and 24 touchdowns. Cousins-esque numbers for him at this point. Todd Gurley might be the MVP of the National Football League, close to 1,200 rushing yards and 13 touchdowns. And their leading receiver, at least in the possession game underneath, is Cooper Kupp. He doesn't make the huge plays that Sammy Watkins can occasionally or Robert Woods was early this season. But Kupp, with almost 60 catches and 800 yards, is having an outstanding rookie year, just 4 touchdowns. Rams' offense is good. Their defense has been very solid lately under Wade Phillips. And the Titans are getting next to nothing out of their offense and Marcus Mariota as their running game's been solved a little bit. That's a problem. I'm going Rams over Titans in Tennessee.
Got the same prediction over here. Miami's at Kansas City. Miami stinks. Vegas knows it. But this is what surprised me about this, is that Kansas City, I think people are buying back in, right? So it was the rush to crown Kansas City. Then they sprinted off the boat because it looked like it was sinking. They patched the holes through these last couple weeks.
Wow, look at that spread.
10.5-point favorites. I've seen up to 11. I've seen as low as 10.
This should be like 6 to me.
Don't you think it should be closer than that? But yeah, they're basically saying that Miami, that last gasp, the dead cat bounce against New England notwithstanding, Kansas City's a lot better. I think they see a bunch of turnovers happening in the Tyreek Hill and Kareem Hunt show as Alex Smith continues to play good, underrated football. Kansas City, I think, rolls in this game, but, man, 10.5 is a big number.
CBS on the call. Kickoff set for about 1:04 East time. Dateline, Foxborough, Massachusetts. Gillette Stadium. 8-6 Buffalo Bills on the road where they're 2-4. The 11-3 New England Patriots host where they are 4-2. Over-under set for 47. Spread, Patriots 12-point favorites.
Big numbers.
41-degree day with no precipitation, partly cloudy and a lot of sun at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. I just don't see the script for the Bills to beat the Patriots here. They played a couple weeks ago. They did a great job on Tom Brady. They harassed him. He looked like a guy. They still didn't win. He's not going to play like that again. It would be, I think, the third straight game where that's happened because he had another one like that this past week. Brady, of course, has 4,100 yards and 28 touchdowns. I do think LeSean McCoy could run very effectively. He's already checked in for 1,000 yards, 6 scores for Buffalo.
He's still so good.
Expect him to play well. Rob Gronkowski is going to be a marked man. Remember, a couple of weeks ago, he got suspended a game because of a late dirty hit on Tre'Davious White, nowhere near the play and well after. So a 64-catch, 1,000-yard, 7-touchdown tight end is going to be running around in the middle of the field. And you know those Bills DBs are going to want to take shots. That's going to be a storyline to monitor in New England.
The game of the week, with all due respect for the Chargers and Jets, I kid, of course, is Atlanta at New Orleans. Yes, man. Yes, bring me this. The brand spanking new version 2.0 New Orleans Saints, the one that runs the ball great and plays good defense against an Atlanta Falcons team that right now holds the 6th spot in the wild card but could very easily lose it. They've got a tough remaining schedule in New Orleans and Carolina.
If Atlanta wins its next two games, I believe they win the division.
That's right.
Because they will beat New Orleans week and Carolina next week. So the Falcons at 11-5 would be the division winners, even though right now they may not make the playoffs.
Exactly. So a lot on the line, obviously, for the defending Super Bowl runner-ups, Mr. and Mrs. 28-3. This is a matchup that I think is going to be outstanding. These teams kind of mirror each other. New Orleans better defensively right now than is Atlanta, but Atlanta gets after the passer when they're right. You've got dynamic backfields. You've got quarterbacks that deliver the football to good skill position guys. New Orleans has been awesome for the most part this year, a couple weird losses, et cetera. But this is in New Orleans. Atlanta got to go on the road. A couple dome teams getting after it. Over under 52.5. New Orleans favored by 5.5 points. A little bit bigger line than I thought, but man, oh, man, I cannot wait to keep checking on this game as the Redskins are punting.
Falcons are weird because they beat the Saints 20-17 on December 7th.
Yep.
But then they almost lost to the Bucs in a terrible game where they just kind of were listless with a lot on the line this past week.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know what to expect from them in New Orleans. Let's continue with the 1 o'clock kicks. Back outdoors we go to MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey. It's going to be mid-40s. 6.5-point spread. The Chargers favorites over the Jets. 7-7 L.A. It goes without saying they have no margin for error now.
None.
After losing to the Chiefs, they are desperate. So they got to get to 8-7. They got to improve to 4-4 on the road coming back home for Week 17. The Jets are 5-9. A surprise 5-9. If they get to 6-10 this year, that would be a job brilliantly done probably for Todd Bowles. A lot of people were picking them to go 2-14, 1-15, that range this season. Over-under set for 42.5. No Josh McCown means more Bryce Petty for the Jets.
Ugh.
It was just nothing but throws at the line of scrimmage and overthrowing receivers down the field. I have no confidence in him against the Chargers defense led by Bosa and Ingram to get the ball out quickly and to be decisive. I think the Chargers win this one in a walk. Wouldn't be surprised if this is a 34-13 or 17 kind of game. They'll win big and they'll get to win number 8.
Jimmy Garoppolo's impressed to this point. He's been really good. He's played also a couple pretty crummy defenses on his way to putting up some good numbers.
I'm excited for this game.
Let's see what happens when you get Jimmy Garoppolo without much weaponry around him. The Marcus Goodwin kind of show. A tight end named Kittle. It sounds like he played the 1950s.
George Kittle, who dropped 8 passes against the Redskins.
Yeah, good luck. Now you got Jacksonville. Marco from Tripoli style. Good luck. I want to see this Jacksonville defense and Jimmy Garoppolo handle that group. Over-under is 42. I'd be surprised if we get there. I'd be inclined to take the under in that game. But Jacksonville's excellent. We know the story. Defensively, they are terrific. The best team in the NFL. On offense, they've been so hot right now. Hot right now. Blake Bortles throwing passes. It's really the Leonard Fournette show. Jacksonville, I expect to win their 4.5-point favorites on the ROAD. But, man, San Francisco has looked like a different team since Jimmy G took over.
4:25 East time kickoff on Christmas Eve for the Dallas Cowboys and the Seattle Seahawks. Jerry's World, AT&T Stadium in Arlington, Texas, where the Cowboys, believe it or not, are 5-point favorites initially installed here. 8-6 Seattle, 8-6 Dallas. The Seahawks over the last month just have not been themselves.
No.
It looks like whatever run they had for a few years, that window is either closing or closed, depending on who you talk to. They're 4-3 on the road. The Cowboys are 3-4 at home. The Ezekiel Elliott story continues here.
He's back.
He is back, and he is looking to run wild against Seattle. Russell Wilson, best quarterback in this game this season, could be an MVP. If he has a big game and carries Seattle to the playoffs, he could further take another step toward that. Alfred Morris ran very well, but Zeke is back to supplant him. And look out for Doug Baldwin in the passing game for Seattle, who's creeping up on 900 yards and 5 touchdowns. I'm picking Seattle against my better judgment. I think Dallas hasn't been very good, even though they've won a couple recent games. They got lucky against Oakland, but Seattle's not good either. So one of these two teams is going to win an ugly game and probably be a pretend 9-win club for another week.
Yeah, as long as some of these salaries for Seattle, the guys that used to be cheap, got more expensive, they became thinner and thinner. Now with these couple injuries that they've had to key guys, you see the results.
That's
where
the problem.
They get destroyed.
And their defense is in peril this week because they got their best linebacker, Bobby Wagner, being called out by their best player, Earl Thomas. They've got no Richard Sherman. It's a problem.
After Todd Gurley ran for 1 million yards, I think Zeke might have a nice homecoming. Pittsburgh at Houston. Pittsburgh got job this past week at home against New England. Their own fault. Don't throw an interception. Just spike the ball and do what you're supposed to do. You can win that game. But Houston stinks. They're not the same team, of course, without Deshaun Watson. Pittsburgh 9-point favorites on the road. Houston, very quietly, by the way, has had one of the worst pass defenses ever assembled
over the
last month.
You know that's a day game on Christmas?
Yeah. Isn't that weird?
Monday day
at 4:30 post Meridian.
It's going to be cool. Doubleheader on Christmas. One more game on Sunday real quick. Giants-Cardinals, awful. Arizona, you saw benching Blaine Gabbert after his performance. Ugh. The Giants 2-12. I actually think New York might win that game. They probably have one more win in them. 3-13 feels about right for them. The Cardinals are hosting. Giants are going east to west, traveling cross-country, which isn't easy. The University of Phoenix Stadium. Final game of the weekend to get to then is the Raiders and the Eagles in Philly. Oakland has a less than 1%, but still a mathematical possibility to make the playoffs. Goes without saying they need to win out. They need a lot of help. The Eagles are still hoping to lock down the one seed in the NFC. They barely have the edge right now over Minnesota. One game cushion with 2 to play. 12-2 Philly has yet to lose at Lincoln Financial Field where they're 6-0. They play their last 2 games at home. Oh, by the way, just one more coup. for Philadelphia going into the last two games of the season. In Philly, 40 degrees, no snow expected. They're 9-point favorites. I don't think they cover, but I think they win. Give me the Eagles 30-22 in this game.
10 to agree, my friend. So let's get to the last big deal here over the course of the weekend. Who right now that is in will be out, and who right now that is out is going to be in? Do you think anything changes in terms of the standings?
Let's do that next. I like that. You can chime in if you want. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Andy Behrens gets us ready for some daily fantasy at 1 o'clock. You're listening to G&D on the Fan. We'll get to your Redskins injury update in just a moment. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. 106.7 The Fan. If you wanted to discuss which teams currently in the playoff picture won't be when the playoffs start.
So Atlanta, the sixth seed right now, has New Orleans and then Carolina. They're 9-5. Detroit, knock, knock, knock on the door, 8-6. Dallas, 8-6. Seattle, 8-6. How does that go? Does Atlanta stay in? Because they've got two tough games remaining. Dallas and Seattle play each other, so one of those teams gets canceled out right then. And then Detroit's got an easy schedule. Remember we talked about them a few weeks ago? One of the easiest down-the-stretch schedules ever.
Atlanta loses to the Saints this weekend and probably loses to the Panthers next weekend.
So they're Dunsky, 9-7.
I think so. Which would mean that Seattle or Dallas, the winner of the game this weekend, probably gets in.
What about Detroit? They got Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Then they close with Green Bay, who's all but done themselves.
Detroit wins both of those games, so they'd be in.
They're 10-6.
All right, so Detroit's the last team in. And then the Rams have an easy first-round victory over them because the Eagles and the Vikings have byes.
What a setup that would be for the Rams.
The Saints play the Panthers. Let's say the Saints, they'd have to beat them a third time.
That'd be three times.
But I'll favor them because they've beaten them twice. Then we say the Saints move on to play the Eagles. I think the Saints would beat the Eagles to get to the NFC title game, by the way.
They'd have to go on the road to do it.
The Panthers would have lost. So then you've got the winner. Let's say the Rams win that game. Rams-Vikings would be a great game. I'd probably say Minnesota wins that game at home.
So they did a couple weeks ago when they played.
Vikings-Saints NFC Championship game.
I take that. I take the hell out of that.
I love that.
Give me that.
And I think New Orleans gets to the Super Bowl, perhaps.
How cool would that be?
That'd be great.
Just bookend that thing for Drew Brees. Kind of a Peyton Manning ride where you did it once where you threw it 75 times. Now you're doing it with defense and running.
He wouldn't leave, would he? I don't think he'd retire.
Oh, I just meant you bookend the career.
Saying, but it'd be interesting. Like, what if he just had a surprise announcement? Dude's in his 40s where he's like, yeah, I'm good. I had a good run.
Remember, he's not under contract. I mean, the talk is, of course, he would stay in New Orleans. The marriage is perfect because he's been such an intrinsic part of that community. But I could see it.
That'd be an interesting Cousins landing spot if he retired.
All of a sudden. You imagine that one?
AFC. You got the Patriots and the Steelers very likely with the byes, although Jacksonville could still have something to say about that. But then the back end, your wild card teams are the Titans and the Bills at 8-6. The Ravens have the same record outside looking in. Chargers 7-7. Titans have a game this weekend against the Rams. They're probably going to lose. Drops them to 8-7. Who do they play in Week 17?
I'm looking that up right now. The Titans have in Week 17 Jacksonville. Now, Jacksonville may have nothing on the line at that point.
Well, but they might still be trying to catch Pittsburgh for those two seed for a bye.
Entirely possible.
I think Tennessee ends up 8-8.
Jacksonville beat Pittsburgh, so they may be able to catch him.
Well, if they can catch him.
If they both finish.
If they catch them by winning one more game the rest of the way,
and Pittsburgh's got to drop one,
then they would have the two seed.
Pittsburgh closes against Cleveland, so this would be the week if Pittsburgh was going to lose.
But you still would go into Week 17 if
with the chance. Yeah, you're right. They'd have
a chance. We've got to win and hope that the Steelers lose.
Is there a chance Tennessee misses out on this
thing? Definitely. They go 0-2.
They've been so nestled comfortably in the postseason, and all of a sudden you look up and they ain't that good.
That's what happens when you're not good. Mm. You go 8-8 and you don't make the playoffs. The Bills could catch them with one win.
Patriots this week, so probably not this week.
The Ravens could catch them with one win.
Ravens, to me, have a great shot at this thing.
Who do the Bills play in Week 17?
Bills have the Miami Dolphins. Figure that's a W, yeah?
Yeah, that's a winnable game. So they're 9-7, so they'd get in. The Ravens, though, would only need to win one game if the Titans lose twice to get in.
Ravens this week, as we discussed, have Indianapolis close with Cincinnati. Two very, very winnable, easy games. Yes.
So they should very likely, honestly, be the 5 seed. The Bills, 9-7, are the 6 seed. The only other team that's interesting here is the Chargers. Right. They go 2-0 and pass Buffalo.
The Chargers have the Jets and then the Raiders. at the Jets and then the Raiders.
Could easily be 9-7.
They could be 9-7.
But if the Bills win against Miami in Week 17, I'm not sure who has the tiebreaker of those two teams, Chargers or Bills.
I don't either, actually. Didn't Buffalo beat the Chargers early on in the season?
That was the Nathan Peterman 5-pick game. So Chargers actually beat them.
The Chargers
badly.
Did win that game.
So you're right. They have the tiebreaker. So then the Bills would be out. If they go 1-1, the Chargers go 2-2, the Ravens 2-0, the Ravens go 2-0. I think Baltimore, the playoff matchups would then be, let's say
Baltimore Baltimore gets the 5 seed?
Yes. They would play Kansas City.
Yep.
I think the Chiefs win that game, but that'd be a decent football
game.
Yeah,
which Chiefs do I get? Do I get, you know, the Chiefs of late, or do I get kind of a hybrid of the two Chiefs?
Jacksonville would play the Chargers, assuming they didn't get the bye. Otherwise it'd be Steelers Chargers. Steelers need a bye so that they can wait another week and not have to worry about getting Antonio
Brown. Yeah,
they
need it, man.
So they're going to do everything they can to get that bye. But then you'd have the Patriots playing the winner of that. You'd probably have the Patriots playing like the Chiefs and the Steelers playing.
Yeah, the Patriots would have the winner of that Chiefs-Ravens game.
Right.
And the only team in the AFC that kind of gives them some funky trouble sometimes are the Ravens.
Yeah.
Especially up there. For whatever reason, Baltimore's played well up there in New England. I want to see that. I want to see one more Baltimore-New England matchup. It will take the fans of Baltimore off when they drop it. But I definitely want to see that. And I want to see Jacksonville-Pittsburgh go at it again. Because Jacksonville whipped their butts.
Playoffs are the best.
Yep.
And the matchups this year are going to be great because, especially in the NFC, you've got so much quarterbacking injury and turmoil.
That Saturday-Sunday double dip each day, series of days, is the best, Jerry.
Yeah.
The best.
Conference championship Sunday is fantastic. But when you've got the 2 days and all the games, it's almost March Madness tournament-esque with the constant play where you're just on your couch. You don't have to do anything else but watch football, eat some chips and some dip in our past lives. Maybe I'll have to break out chips and dip again for the first time of the season.
I got to see what day I'm allowed to have my special thing. You know what I'm saying? Like, the whole reason to do this is so we can have days where I don't care, where there are no rules. I just take my shirt off and just eat something that's absurd.
Yeah. When are you going to do that?
So I need to decide whether it's the 2 day festival with that
should be that
second round, you know. So after the wild card games, that second weekend is my favorite one, where it's you've gotten rid of the pretenders, you've gotten rid of the Bengals, you got rid of the Houston Texans every year. Now it's the group of people that belong there. Those four games are the best. Is it that day or do I wait until the Super Bowl?
No, it's that day. It's the double dip, it's all the games in a span of 48 hours.
It's 2 days though.
Yeah, the Super Bowl's just not worth it.
Yeah,
don't worry about it.
Maybe conference championship.
It's going to blow out a lot. Conference championship Sunday is a better conversation.
I just decided I'm going to dip pretzels in something. There's going to be a pretzel.
You won't do mustard.
Hot pretzel. Oh, it's going to be a cheese. There's going to be a cheese that I'll dip it right into, and it's going to be a hot cheese.
Is it going to be like a doughy big pretzel?
Yeah, the big soft pretzel.
Or like pretzels that snap and crack, and you pull them out of a bag, and they're small.
Great question by you. Maybe we have a pretzel festival. Maybe it's the festival of pretzels. I want
all
the pretzels.
What about a pretzel rod? I love pretzel rods.
Pretzel rod's good, too. They're good for dipping. They're better than the curlicues for dipping.
We should do a pretzel party and watch football and just dip it into cheeses.
Pretzel party!
Please don't get your hopes up.
Why?
Because if you think about going through the station, you know,
Brendan,
it's a great track record.
This is a new era.
Well, and we're not actually going to advocate to do the pretzel party as a radio station. That would be insane.
Listen, it's going to happen. Entercom
is here.
I'm just
saying we drive to Danny's house and have a pretzel party.
Things happen with new overlord
just the four
company.
Of us?
Yeah.
And Bill Rowland?
Yeah, Bill's going to be there.
Nothing but a pretzel
He's going to be running
party.
Around hitting Bill in the... hitting Danny in the face with a toy. How else do you think Danny just comes in with bruises and blood all over his face all the time?
I make him so mad. Like, every once in a while, we get stuff. I'm telling you, I want to have a big pretzel festival. That's what I want for these games. That's going to be my cheat thing. Just straight carbs and cheese.
Grant and Danny on the fan. Andy Behrens of Yahoo Sports. Let's get some daily fantasy lineups set to make a little cash this weekend. He'll help us do that next on the fan.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, There's joy in every journey.